Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed by your finances? Let's talk about how you can get organized with your life and your money in today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, guiding you through the maze of your money. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're exploring how simplicity can transform your financial life. We'll discuss why people get disorganized with their finances, how simplicity can help, and we'll provide some actionable steps to get started. We have insights from experts and real-life tips that you can implement right away with today's guest. The money talking points for today's episode are: what things do I need to organize my finances? 2, what areas can I implement simplicity? And 3, how can I avoid disorganization in my finances? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Alexis Boconfuso, and I think I managed to say it correctly, so go me, but awesome. Alexis, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone and tell them what you do?
Sure. So thanks for inviting me to talk money with you today. First, my name is Alexis Boconfuso. I'm a certified professional organizer, certified daily money manager, and a certified professional coach. And I help my clients meet their financial and strategic goals. And I love talking money, so I'm happy to be speaking with you today.
Fantastic. Yeah, this episode idea came out because I'm like, there's people who professionally organize stuff, right? Like that exists. And I was thinking, our finances are often disorganized, or maybe that's an area we don't even think needs to be organized. So I'm excited for this conversation and to talk a little bit more about organizing our financial lives. But right out the gate, I think we should help people understand how they even end up disorganized or what disorganization looks like with their finances. How do people get disorganized with their money?
Sure. So some people are never organized in the first place due to limited financial literacy, or they have limiting beliefs about money. And right now, like, our current financial lives are so much more complicated than they used to be. Think about all the ways you can get a bill, right? It can come by email, it can come by text, it can come in the mail, mm-hmm. cash or check or debit, credit, online. There's so many avenues that you can get in, you know, get bills or pay expenses from that people can easily get disorganized, right? So you have to have systems in place to track it all.
Sorry, I just had a thought come to mind because I was helping my grandma yesterday with some of her bills and going through them to make sure they got paid. And I'm like, okay, where's your water bill? She's like, oh, they text that one to me. It's like, and then she comes back in, she's like, how do I find my text? Like she knows how to get to it from notifications, sure, but doesn't know how to get to old text messages. And that's crazy. And her email's on her computer, not on her phone. Exactly. And then she's getting texted some bills. So yeah, that one hit home recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought up your grandmother, because that's one of the places two people get disorganized. So let's say you've been organized your whole life with your finances. Mm-hmm. But as people age, they lose some of that ability, whether through illness or maybe their eyesight is poor, their handwriting is poor, and it's harder for them to manage their finances. The mm-hmm. other thing is that people who are completely financial organized sometimes get disorganized when there's a major life event. So think like marriage or divorce. So there's a lot of reasons why people are disorganized with their finances.
Yeah. And like you said, there's so many ways to pay for things. There's so many ways to receive payments and receive bills. So there's a lot we have to keep organized. So let's dive down into it again and see, how do people get organized? How do they even get started? Let's talk in life in general, but how does simplicity help people in their life? How can that help?
Yeah. So simplicity can mean different things to different people. But for me, it means having clear systems in place to manage all of life's many details. And that simplicity can reduce anxiety and stress, and it can also improve time management.
Yeah, that makes sense. How does that simplicity extend to people when they're thinking about their money? How does that help them there?
So having those clear systems in place can reduce stress and improve time management. So here's a really simple example of a system is sorting out the mail, sort out the junk mail before you bring it in the house. Like, it's a very simple system, right? But it makes dealing with the actual mail and bills when you're going to sit down to do them a little bit easier. So any system that you can put in place that makes something easier to do is going to reduce stress and anxiety and improve time management.
Yeah, and I want to even share a tip that I've learned recently that helps with that mail idea that you have is informed delivery. I signed up for that with the post office. And now, like, when I come home from work now, I'm not worried, oh, did we get any mail? Because I know it's all junk. And then, yeah, when I get the email and I look at it and say, oh, that one's not junk, then I can go to the mail for that one thing and immediately discard the rest.
Yep.
And that goes to how technology can help with our systems, too. What are some few easy steps that someone can take to get organized and to start that organization in their financial lives?
Okay, so someone can always reach out to a financial organizer like me if they're having trouble getting started. Mm-hmm. In general, financial organizing is a lot like organizing anything else in your life, right? You start by exploring what you have. You review to reduce clutter. You develop and implement a system to meet your organizing needs. And then you maintain the system. So I'm going to give you a very simple but impactful area that you could start with. So everyone has subscriptions.
Yes.
And they're all on auto pay, right? And people lose track of them all the time. So this is like what you can do for your subscriptions, right? Step one, evaluate and edit, right? You have to know what you have. So I would suggest that people review the past 12 months of all your statements, bank, credit card, Venmo, wherever you have payments, to look for any subscription you have on auto pay. Then determine which ones you're going to keep, decide which ones you can let go of, and which ones you're going to keep. So that's step one, evaluate and edit. Step two would be sort and contain. So you figure out how you're going to manage what you're keeping. So you review your organizing needs, right, and put a system in place. So for this example, your organizing needs might be knowing what subscriptions you have and how much you pay for them, how often you pay for them, and how you pay for them. And that system that you create to meet those needs could be as simple as just creating a spreadsheet that lists out all that information. And then step three is review and maintain, right? You got to check it out once in a while. And this is where a lot of people get hung up, right? You have to review and maintain any organizational system that you put in place. So that means your system has to have a time component, right? Mm-hmm. So in this example, when do you update the spreadsheet and when do you review it? Updating the spreadsheet should take place when you add a subscription or cancel a subscription. And then a review should be done at least annually. So you can set a recurring appointment reminder in your calendar, or you can add it to your task app, and that'll ensure that you're actually reviewing and maintaining. Now, I know that this is very general, right? But I know a lot of people get hung up in this area. So I hope that your listeners are going to go home today, make some time on their calendar to review their subscriptions, and set up a system to manage it. So you can take that process, right? That three-step process, and you can apply it to any area of your financial life. So that's like, how do you organize your financial paper and your digital records, right? Your statements and your expenses. How do you organize your tax documents? How do you process the mail and bills? How do you, if you do, and I do recommend people do, like, are you keeping the books, right? Are you categorizing your income and expenses? Are you doing cash flow and budgeting? How are you tracking your medical bills and insurance claims? And then there's afterlife planning as well. And I know I'm being very general, right? But one of the things that I do recommend people do is learn your cash flow, right? So that's tracking your money that's coming in as well as your money that's going out, including future transactions. So if your finances aren't too complicated, you could probably do that in a spreadsheet. If they're more complicated, then you want some type of personal finance software. I like Quicken. It's a really great way to keep track of your future bills and also your cash flow.
Yeah, there's a lot of great software out there that can help if you don't want to dive into building out some expansive spreadsheet. And to go back to your subscription idea, one thing I like to share in that realm too, just to add on to the advice, is turn off autopay. You mentioned they're all on autopay. They're all auto-renewing. For me and my wife, we did that recently, and this was a tip I heard maybe a year ago, to turn off auto pay. And then when they cancel, that's when you're going to figure out if you really need them or not. Because if you don't use it and it cancels and never renews, maybe you never notice, which would be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The idea is renew it for a year, renew it for a month, whatever you do. and then go in right away and cancel it, because they're always going to carry out the subscription for whatever you paid for. They're not going to shut off your access immediately. Right. Turn off the auto pay so that it cancels after you're done. Are there any common larger things that people need to consider when organizing their money? Your process is very clear. It can help in so many areas. What are some more big things that they can do?
So what if something happened to you tomorrow and you were suddenly incapacitated or worse? Right? Like in today's world, it's a bit too real to ignore that question. Like,
yeah, and I'd like to work every day
and manage your finances or dismantle your finances. So what I recommend, and it goes by a lot of different names, some people call it a peace of mind file, some people call it life documents, love drawer. My favorite is the just in case file. It's a document, or there are online platforms now where you can capture your entire financial life so that a trusted family member or a friend can step in and take over your finances just in case you can't. So I recommend that everyone have this, no matter how young or old they are.
Yeah, that's like definitely, that's the biggest one that you can start doing to get organized, because that one's going to have the longest lasting impact. Because like you said, when you said, what happens tomorrow if you got hurt? I thought through it. I was like, well, I have life insurance in place. And I know there's a document that will walk my wife through my spreadsheets and stuff that I've built out that we work off of. So even the podcast host that's been talking about money for 2.5 years has progress to make in this area. So I imagine a lot of other people do as well. That's a great one to get started. Awesome. So once people are able to get organized, once they get organized, how do they stay on top of it? What's a good frequency for people to check in on their money?
So that's the third step. It's really going to depend on your personal financial needs. So in general, I recommend people open their mail at least once a week, and that they review their cash flow on a weekly basis or a bi-monthly basis. Now, there are some people that can probably get away with doing that stuff once a month, but I do recommend doing it more frequently. In terms of reconciling your bank and credit cards once a month, handling medical bills and insurance claims, like that's a whole nother area of financial organizing where there's a lot to manage.
Yeah, I've had that recently over the last 6 months. And then the other day, my wife was like, hey, I got this insurance thing for you to ask about. And I was like, no, I just finished the other ones. So yeah, that's its own beast.
Yeah. So those at least once a month, you want to handle those types of things. And then paperwork, again, you would want to file that on a monthly basis. So those are just some general guidelines.
Yeah, sounds like we need some sort of a calendar probably to help us with all of this, or some sort of reminder system, which is great. What kind of tools do you use to help stay organized? You mentioned like Quicken. You've mentioned in a couple places use a calendar. What are some things people can consider to use to get organized?
In general or about their finances?
Let's go in general, because I think they could apply to both, and then maybe we'll dive into finances too.
So your calendar is your best time management tool, hands down. There are all these apps out there and all these things, but your calendar is like, so can be so robust in terms of managing your time. So use your calendar, use a to-do list. Those two things work hand in hand. So when you're talking about organizing, and whether it's your money or something else, having a schedule to do it makes it more likely that you're going to do it. So if you say, okay, right, I'm going to open the mail and pay the bills on Saturday, that's your day that you do it. And you do it every week on the same day, unless there's some kind of adjustment to your schedule, and then you just adjust it for that week. But having a regular, this is the system, right? Organizing is about systems. Having a system in place. I pay the bills on this day. The other thing about a system is having everything that you need in one place. Things have homes, right? So if you're writing checks, where's your checkbook? If you need to access accounts, where are those? Like having a designated place where you hold the mail until you open it, where you keep your the things that you need to pay the bills, whether you're using a software, calendar. Yeah, I use Quicken, but if you don't use Quicken, you can use an Excel spreadsheet, like if you're tracking your finances. But there are like apps out there that you can use, you know, like there's You Need a Budget. Mint was one, but I think they just went under.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some other ones out there.
Yeah. There's a lot of great tools. And I think one of the things that I caught from what you said is everything needs a home. Then you don't have the pile of paperwork on the desk that you never want to get to because you don't really know what's in there. So like setting up these systems helps you in so many other ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. So having a place where you store like the things that you have to deal with, and reviewing that on a regular basis, makes it easier to review. If you deal with it weekly or every 2 weeks, it's not so hard to handle.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think people, they think that when I mention my wife and I do a monthly budget meeting, and they're like, oh, I can't imagine doing that because there's so much to talk about. And honestly, for us, it's not that crazy because we keep an agenda, which is more of just a place to put ideas throughout the month that maybe aren't urgent.
Right.
We have a dedicated time, like you said, to review our system.
Yep.
And then we can say, what changes do we need to make? What do we need to do here or there?
Right.
And it's a dedicated time. So I love what you're preaching here. Yeah. This is great stuff. Fantastic. So we're coming here to the close. And of course, if you have anything else come to mind, please feel free to share. But I got two final questions.
Yep.
The last one, I'll put it in your mind now so you can start thinking about it. But the last question is, what is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money? And then before you answer that one, if you could just share how people can learn more about you or find you online.
One is called Clutterphobe, just like it sounds. And the other one is CPDMM. So that's Charlie, Peter, David, Michael.com. So that's for CP Daily Money Management.
Oh, I thought it was for all those phonetic spellings. That would be a weird website name.
Yeah, it would be. Yep. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm currently working on a book about financial organizing, and I'm creating some companion workshops and courses. So if your listeners are interested, they can subscribe on my website to receive updates on those.
Awesome. Well, that's fantastic. When that book comes out, maybe I'll have to give it a read and have you back on to talk about. To wrap up here, what is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Oh, the time value of money, for sure, right?
That's what everyone says, and I love it.
But I mean it in two ways here. So of course, I mean, makes money over time, right? I wish I had started investing earlier. We trade our time for money.
Yeah, and I think of like little kids, and they're like, oh, I can't do that. It would cost me 7 hours of work. Like, that's honestly a great way to look at things because,
absolutely. Yeah.
Because then you're saying, oh, my entire day at work tomorrow is to pay for this one silly little toy that I got that I don't really use. So yeah, thinking about money in terms of your hourly rate and things like that can be really eye-opening, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Alexis, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming on and helping everyone get organized with their finances.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Alexis for coming on today's episode. I think that was a really great interview talking about how you can get organized both in your life and in your finances. I also want to speak to the power of networking and how connecting can be powerful in your life towards making connections to get you to new opportunities. Because originally I had reached out to somebody else on a podcast guest service about talking about organization, and they suggested I have someone better that would be able to talk more in line with money with you. And that's how Alexis and I got connected. So that was a great interview brought to you by the power of networking as well. So I want to start off today talking about the money talking points. The first money talking point is, what do I need to organize with my finances? For Rebecca and I think it's that just in case file. What would happen if Rebecca dies? While Rebecca's been in school, we've done a pretty good job making sure she would be taken care of. So that way there's insurance in place, there's documents so she would know how to run our finances. Because while we do talk about money together a lot, I manage a lot of the numbers and the spreadsheets and things like that. So there's a lot of things in place to help make sure Rebecca is okay and she could finish her education. But now that we're closer and closer to her becoming the primary income in our family, what happens if she dies or gets injured? Which is a terrible thought to think about, but it's important. Insurance is crucial to consider here. And while we do have life insurance for Rebecca, there may also be some disability insurance that needs to be put in place, because what if she can't perform her job because of a disability? That doesn't qualify for life insurance now, does it? What do you do for this question, that just in case file that we talked about in the interview today? Do you have everything set up? What is everything? Honestly, that's what starts bothering me in my mind is it just a will? Is it a trust? Is it an estate? Do you do all of them? Do you do some of them but not other ones because they override each other? How do beneficiaries play a factor? What else is there to consider? So many terms get thrown around with the just in case file and that sort of area that it can be really confusing and overwhelming. So this is an area that Rebecca and I need to get a little bit more organized with and build our system around. The second money talking point is, what areas can I implement simplicity? For us, it was stopping with so many credit card applications. It got hectic for a little bit where there were so many credit cards being opened randomly and all the time for us, and maybe not randomly, but there were so many credit cards being opened that we decided we needed to keep it simpler. So now we have it simple with just our normal credit cards. We've kept all the ones that we opened open. We didn't close any credit cards because that sometimes can impact your credit score, but that's a different conversation that we talked about in the most recent episode of the Money Talk Credit Card Guide. So make sure to go check that one out and get the free resource at moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com/resources. But back to areas of simplicity. We know that credit cards was an area that it was getting complicated, and we didn't really want that. I didn't want to be the person credit card hacking. I didn't want to be telling Rebecca, hey, make sure you're using this credit card in this quarter, this one at these stores in this quarter, and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole lot of things to consider when you really get into credit card hacking. And anyone who's good at that, props to you. I'd love to learn. So if you want to come on, please shoot me an email. I'd love to talk to anyone. Or if you know someone, if there's another podcast you listen to that you could connect me with, maybe their host, and they could come on this show, or I'd be happy to go on theirs, and we could talk about credit card hacking, that would be really cool. The third money talking point is, how can I avoid disorganization in my finances? And this is systems, systems, systems. Write things down. The more things are written down, the less likely they are to get disorganized. We have our financial plan written down, and we update it on that written document every 3 months. We don't just suggest ideas and suggest new things and just change things willy-nilly. It has to be written down on that document. And in the event that we do update something outside of that normal 3-month window, it gets written down, or else we're going to forget about it. And why bother to remember it when we have all the technology and means to write things down and let technology remember them for us? It keeps me sane, and it keeps Rebecca from getting annoyed by me when I'm bombarding her with financial updates and decisions all the time. So it makes things a whole lot simpler for both of us, keeps us a little bit more in line and on the same path. But next, let's talk about the handy hint. So today's handy hint is a quick one that I've never brought up on this podcast before, but something that I've heard about on a different podcast and suggested to me in a couple different places, but it's USPS's informed delivery. And I talked about it in the interview, and I wanted to share it because I realized I'd never talked about it here before. But this is a great thing. I don't have to check the mail anymore, and that's awesome. Sure, maybe you're saying, oh, you're just lazy. Who doesn't like a walk out to the mailbox, right? Maybe it's relieving for you to take a break in the evening or something like that, or it's your chance to go on a short walk before you go inside when you get home from work, but I don't want to bother checking the mail. I know that most of it's junk, and when I walk out there and I'm like, ooh, we got 3 pieces of mail, and it's all garbage, that's annoying. So now I know when I'm just getting garbage, and I just leave it in there because, frankly, I don't care. Funny story real quick. I actually tried one time to keep all of our junk mail, and I kept it in a pile, and then on all of them I wrote, unsubscribe, stop mailing me, something like that, and I put them all back in the mailbox. It was like this thick stack of just junk mail that I wrote unsubscribe on all of it. And the mail person actually came up to her front door and said, you can't do this. And they wouldn't take it, which I thought was silly because I hate marketing mail. I think it's a waste of time, and that's a whole different topic, but I thought it was funny. I tried to opt out of all of it. But now with informed delivery, I don't have to bother checking the mail until I actually know there's something in there that I want to get. It's free and easy. You just sign up online on the post office's website. So be sure to go and check it out. I highly recommend it. I think it's a great tool and saves me just that little bit of time and, I guess, mental energy of checking the mail when it just comes to my email. And I'm going to talk about email a little bit later in this episode, but it's also an area you have to get a system around and keep organized, especially if that's where your bills are going. The same tactic of getting rid of junk mail versus regular real mail when you're going to your mailbox applies in your email, so something to consider and think about. But next, let's talk about the Money Matters Minute. Alrighty, in today's Money Matters Minute, I want to talk a little bit about inflation. And this isn't a topic that I talk about a lot because, honestly, I don't know a whole lot about it and I'm not super up to date on this area of the news. But for me and my wife, it feels like we've adjusted, but things still seem to cost a ton of money. But I really feel it when we go out to eat. It is so insanely expensive to eat out anymore. I don't know how anyone does it, especially even just for one person. Like, if you're eating out every day for lunch, that is so much money that you are spending on food. But that's where I feel like inflation has hit the hardest. Prices on fast food and things like that have just felt like they've skyrocketed. And that's where inflation, I think, still, maybe I just don't understand how much fast food costs. But news reports seem to be pointing towards inflation slowing down. And that's where I wanted to see, what are you thinking? How do you feel about inflation? Shoot me an email. But really, I think it all depends on how we're spending money. If we can keep track of our own spending and keep it in check, then we're doing good. If your personal inflation rate is doing all right, then you're doing okay. Who cares what the overall country inflation is at if you're able to maintain your spending and do good and stay below your means? But that's the Money Matters Minute. How are you feeling about inflation? Shoot me an email. I'd love to have a chat about it. The next is the Personal Finance Power Up. Okay, the personal finance power-up is going to be a quick one because it's something I've talked about recently, but I want to harp on it again because it came up in today's interview, and that is subscriptions. Turn off autopay. Like I said, I talked about this a few episodes ago and detailed it, but I feel it's warranted to talk about it again. Do not bother paying for subscriptions on autopay. One, you're likely to get a discount when you unsubscribe and it's been a few weeks and they're like, oh, come back, please come back. And they'll give you a discount for the subscription. So there are so many other things that you should have on autopay, like your bills, your credit card statement balance, which make sure to check out the credit card guide for more info on that one, and other bills like that that are important that you need to have on autopay, and subscriptions should not be one of them. So when you sign up for a subscription, go into there immediately and disable autopay. Cancel it so that it stops running the next time it goes to renew. And then when you actually want to keep it, you can just purchase one more month at a time. I know it's a hassle, but subscriptions is an excellent place to implement some friction in your life so that it's a little bit harder to automatically spend that money. And maybe we need to do a deep dive, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, on the power of friction in your financial life. So I'm going to write that one down. And if you have any thoughts or comments on that one, shoot me an email. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. We talked about organization today and how you can get your finances in order. Ultimately, today's episode taught me about the power of systems and how much they matter in our lives to make our lives so much easier. If we can have systems in place, it can make everything we do so much easier. Start simple with your mail by signing up for informed delivery, and then weed out the junk mail from your actual mail very quickly. And then, like I said, do the same thing in your email. I know it can be really daunting since email is so much more accessible for every company to get to you with, but you need to do it. You need to get a system set up in your email. And that starts by opting out of things. And with all of our bills emailed to us and so many other advertisements being emailed and things being mailed and stuff like that, we have to have a system to keep our email and our regular inbox clear. So I use our email to track expenses, so that's why it's so important for me to keep email clear, because if it was crowded, it would throw off so many other systems in our life, like our financial systems, our spreadsheets, things like that. But when you're getting started with your system, make sure to take stock of where you are today. And then figure out where you want to go with some goals, and then work towards building a system that's going to help you get there. You want to make sure that system is going to be easy to maintain, and then you can let your system handle the decisions, which is awesome when you get to that point. But make sure to keep things simple. Thanks again to Alexis for coming on today's episode. You can find her information in the show notes, of course, but be sure to check out the website at moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and check out the new resource by clicking at the top of the website where it says resources and check out the Money Talk credit card guide. Thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.